Today we celebrate the wonderful solemnity of our Queen, Our Lady, Our Mother, the Mother of Jesus, the Mother of God, a great and wonderful day. The dawn of our salvation is rising in this woman who is erasing the fault of Eve, the disobedience of Eve, the new Eve, Our Lady. She comes, she's conceived in her mother's womb immaculately, and this is the beginning of our salvation. What was prophesied at the beginning with Adam and Eve, but what was decreed from all eternity, this woman, this great, great woman, the reason for the universe, the reason for the world, this woman and this king, this God-man, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, this pair, this real and true Adam and Eve, the world was made for them. Adam and Eve were symbols of these two great personages, Our Lady and Our Lord. She is truly great, greater than all the angels and saints, greater than the whole world, because she's the queen of the universe, greater than everything taken together. This woman, our queen, the mother of God, even before she's the mother of God, she's immaculate. And to say that she is conceived without sin, to say that she has nothing to do with sin, she's at enmity with sin, is not to say the half of it. She's much greater than that. She's full of grace, full of God, full of every perfection that God could possibly give to a human creature. She is the greatest masterpiece of God. She is more perfect than a human being can be. God has made her so perfect that he could not even make a more perfect creature. This is our ladies. This is our mother. And this is too good to be true. And yet it is true. What we have, and she is ours. She belongs. She's your possession, my possession. She's our mother, but she's something we can hold on to. We can grasp. We have within us. She belongs to us. She is the paradise of God, but she's our paradise too. You know, we think of all the gifts and the virtues and every perfection God has given to her. There's nothing impure, nothing. There's no weeds in her garden. There's nothing but the most beautiful possible flowers that God could create in Our Lady. There's nothing impure, nothing, no spot, nothing sad, nothing not that's not beautiful in Our Lady. She's just full of every beauty. And I was just reading the decree on the Immaculate Conception, and the Holy Father is reciting all the wondrous things that the saints have said, the scholars, the doctors of the church have said throughout the history of the church about Our Lady, and they're just grandiloquent. You know, they're just excessive in the praise and in the glory that they give to Our Lady, and yet the church takes it as its own in this encyclical of the church. And I'll just read you this paragraph describing what the saints have said about Our Lady and what the church adopts as its own in the decree on the minds and souls of our ancestors in the faith, that a singular and truly marvelous style of speech among them, they have frequently addressed the Mother of God as immaculate in every respect, innocent and verily most innocent, spotless and entirely spotless, holy and removed from every stain of sin, all pure, all stainless, the very model of purity and innocence, more beautiful than beauty, more lovely than loveliness, more holy than holiness, singularly holy and most pure in soul and body, the one who surpassed all integrity and virginity, the one who has become the dwelling place of all the graces of the most Holy Spirit, God alone excepted, Mary is more excellent than all, and by nature fair and beautiful, and more holy than the cherubim and seraphim. To praise her, all the tongues of heaven and earth do not suffice. Those are the words of the church. You might think that the words of Saint Maximilian or the saints who are just caught up in love and enthusiasm and in love for Our Lady and saying all these beautiful things, this is the somber, careful words of the Church, speaking of the greatness of Our Lady, second only to God, of course, and even nothing compared to God. And yet God has done this great thing in Our Lady. All generations will call me blessed. This is what God has done in her. And so we look up to her. We see her in her brilliance, in the power that God has given her. She made her beautiful, filled her with all these graces and gifts and the perfection of God, and yet there's power in Our Lady, power that's bursting forth like the rays of the sun. Our Lady is greater than the sun, more brilliant than the sun, bursting forth for the world, shedding graces and shedding love and beauty and help and care and mercy and concern for all of her children. Everything is bursting forth for all of us, not to just contain it in herself, but like the sun sheds forth that warmth and beauty upon you and me, all of us who are hopefully receptive to her. We're not closed off in ourself. We're not keeping our head in the earth, but we're open to the rays of the sun, to Our Lady, open to her entering into our heart, into our life. And the Immaculate Conception, Our Lady is for us. She's not just for herself or for God even, but for all of us. And we are engaged in Our Lady. This feast is for us. We have to be engaged in this feast, engaged in Our Lady. We need to be running with Our Lady. We need to be immersed in her and swimming in her and active in her, united to her, living in her, and she in us. So this feast is very much about us acting in her. We're not spectators, and we're not just looking up to her and admiring her, but we're engaged in her. We're engaged in the Immaculate Conception. We're supposed to be pure, immaculate, holy, like Our Lady. Pure and holy and spotless and full of love for God, full of grace. That's what we're supposed to do with her. So this isn't something separate from us, but we should be engaged because Our Lady is for us, and God gave to her to operate in us, to work in us, to govern us and to act in us, to make us holy in her. So this is very much something that we should be engaged in and active in and united. We're soldiers of Our Lady. We're servants of Our Lady. We have to be, carrying this sword to fight for Our Lady, to defend her. We're on this ship, where the ship is Our Lady. We have all these enemies around us, sharks around us, jumping up, trying to grab us and pull us into the sea of the world and sin. And we have to be on the deck with our sword and our armor and fighting it away, slashing away and stabbing away at those evil spirits and the things of this world. We have to be engaged in Our Lady. We're on mission with Our Lady. She's the mediatrix of all grace. She's a missionary going to the world, but she does it through you and me. She's acting through you and me. So we are engaged. We're on that deck, moving about, fighting. Yes, fighting evil, fighting sin, fighting our own selfishness and weaknesses. But we're also loving. We're doing everything in love for God and Our Lady and our neighbor. We're working hard with Our Lady to establish the kingdom of God on the earth, to bring about and shed all the graces that Our Lady wants to shed into the world, to make the world a better place, to make the world a paradise, an earthly paradise if we can. with Our Lady, you and me are supposed to do that. And so we're supposed to do it through Our Lady and with Our Lady. This is what it means. This is what the Immaculate Conception means. Saint Maximilian said there are two pages of the history of the Franciscan Order. The first page was to promote the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. The second page is to live it, spread it, preach it, teach it to everyone. And that's second page doesn't end until the end of the world. God said to Saint Jesus said to Saint Francis that the Franciscan Order would last to the end of the world. So we're to spread this Immaculate Conception to the end of the world. We're to live it first and to spread it through the miraculous medal, through consecration, through the Holy Rosary, through the scapular, through Our Day with Mary, through our Franciscan life, through our love for Our Lady, to spread the kingdom of God through Our Lady. That's what Our Lady said at Fatima. He wants to establish the kingdom of God through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to save souls from hell through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. There isn't any other way. It's through her Immaculate Heart, through her Immaculate Conception. So, you know, you see how this involves you and me, and this involves everyone, and it's not, you know, just Our Lady, you know, just looking up to her and preaching about her. It's an active thing. It's a living thing. Living the Immaculate Conception, living our love for Our Lady, living our consecration to Our Lady is a very active, living thing in our heart and our soul. And this is how we are to sanctify ourselves and in the world through Mary. She is that important. She's that central. She's that central. This is how God is going to conquer the world for the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. You know, she's front and center, bursting forth with brilliance upon the world, and this involves you and me. And we are privileged to have Our Lady. We're full of misery, you know, we're full of sinfulness and our weaknesses, but we bring it all to the feet of Our Lady, and she purifies us, sanctifies us, gives us that joy and hope, and brings us to confession. She brings us there. She purifies us through confession. She brings us there, and she brings us to the feet of the altar to receive our Lord in the Eucharist. She's there. She's acting and doing everything to bring us to the church, to bring us to the sacraments, to bring us to prayer, to union with God. She's the glue, the magnet, the reconciler, the one who brings us to God. And she's always there. She's always active in the world because she's our mother, and she's the instrument of holiness that God uses to sanctify us. So this is all the Immaculate Conception. This is Our Lady. The Immaculate Conception is Mary herself. She said at Lourdes, "I am the Immaculate Conception," shuddering as she said it, the greatness and what God has done in her. She who recognized that she was nothing and that God poured all his power and goodness and holiness in her, and she shuddered at the greatness that God worked in her. And we are involved in her. We are united to her in our consecration to her, and through her we are united to God. And so let us stay united to her through the Holy Rosary, through the sacraments, through our continual prayer and love for Our Lady, and through our continual effort to fight against selfishness and sin, and to recognize that evil is in the world and sin is there at our toe tips, fingertips. You know, we have to fight and keep pushing it away, keep pushing sin out of our life and purifying ourselves in confession and through resolutions and through avoidance of everything that is dangerous and to work, to practice charity, to do everything that is good and holy and what we're supposed to do, to do God's will in a pure and immaculate way, staying away from dangerous things, and to purify ourselves, become more and more immaculate in us. Our Lady's Immaculate Conception is to purify us, to make us immaculate and pure, always doing God's will, and not, which means, you know, pushing our own will aside, pushing our own selfishness and our own self-will aside, and becoming more and more united to God's will through Our Lady's will, and through our love for her. Our love for Our Lady will keep us from sin and keep us in God, in charity, in holiness, and a holy life. So let's embrace this whole teaching, embrace Our Lady more today, and let her bring us to the heights of holiness and goodness for love of God.
Christus.